Okay, I'm going to ask us to just slowly bring our focus to the present. How many of you are writing fiction? Okay, and how many nonfiction? Okay, so we've got nonfiction and fiction here, and you're ambidextrous.
I'm sorry, memoir.
Oh, memoir, good, and memoir. Terrific. I want you to imagine this. Imagine you've just gotten together with your partner or your favorite lover. And could it be a lover from the past?
Is this a fiction?
In your mind, Alan, it could be fiction, it could be nonfiction. But I want you to place in your mind, imagine in your mind, that you are with a partner, a lover. And let's imagine that you've gotten together and maybe even organized some romantic interlude. Maybe you've had a dinner, maybe some wine, some candles. And the setting is there. And you can feel some tension between the two of us, like you're wanting, you're ready, you're hungry for each other. And so as you get together, the passion starts to increase, and you know that you just want to make love. You just feel it within yourself. And as you're getting closer and closer, you may know that you're guiding yourself to the bedroom if you're in an apartment or a home. And while you're there, you realize you've got to take off your clothes. Because, I don't know, making love with clothes on, you can, but I don't know, it's much better with the clothes off. So you take off your clothes. And then you might find the tension, there may be some, you know, you feel this tension like you want to go really quickly, and or then you have to restrain yourself. And then you finally move into the act of love, and you have this climax, and you feel tremendous peace. Now that may have lasted only 30 seconds, or may have lasted several hours, whatever it is. But then, at the end, you feel rather intimate with your partner, rather connected with your partner, this sense of really being yourself with your partner. That's what Writing Naked is all about. And that's what we're going to cover in this presentation, how to write naked so that we can go through these phases just like you're making love. And I know someone asked me, do we take off our clothes here? And I said, well, this is optional, but no one's ever taken me up on that idea. But
Until today.
Thank you, Elaine. But we're going to be looking at what this whole concept of writing naked means and apply it to our life, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, memoir, whatever it is. I've been a psychotherapist almost for 40 years, and so this has been a big part of my life in terms of helping people get connected with themselves. I've been writing for almost 30 years as well, and so this has been I feel blessed to have these two disciplines in my life to really take a look at this whole concept. So let's take a look at this here. What does it mean to write with your heart and your soul? And I have a quote here. Stephen King says, a writer needs to tell the truth, no matter what he's writing about, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, or autobiographical. We're here, we're meant to tell the truth. And I don't know about you, but whenever I read something, it could be a memoir, it could be fiction, nonfiction, but when they're telling the truth, that touches my heart. That moves my soul. Frank McCourt, in writing Angela Ashes, says you got to learn to take off the mask, to stop being a phony, to be yourself. And during times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. George Orwell, 1984. I believe writing is both art and therapy. It helps us reveal what's hidden so that we can see what we're thinking. Most of the times we can't see what we're thinking until we write it down. Oh my goodness, that is what I'm thinking. And it takes us home to our true self. That's what it's all about. Now, here's the problem with writing naked. The problem is we get these messages from our family, our culture, society. And what are the messages? The messages, adopt the beliefs and adapt. Fit in. We're all being called to fit in. Society, our family says, you know, don't cause behavior problems. Act nice. If you're in the school system and somehow you're acting a bit disruptive, well, you must have attention deficit disorder. Let's give you some Ritalin so you can fit in. We want you to fit in. Be behaviorally like the rest of us. And as well, don't express feelings, especially anger or sadness. Smile. Be happy. Aren't these the messages that we grew up as a family? Well, at least they were in my family. Just to learn, in some respects, to not be your true self. To not be like an infant. I've got two children, they're 34 and 32. And when they were young, when they were crying, they didn't say, I wonder if Dad's going to be mad if I cry. They just cried. And if they saw somebody they didn't like and they were really small, they would say, you know, that person, I don't like that person. I mean, they would be very overt. They'd be rather naked in their thoughts. But over time, we start suppressing. We hide what we're really thinking. Now, E.E. Cummings says, to be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you somebody else is to fight the hardest battle and keep on fighting no matter what. And I think never stop writing. And I believe that those of us who are called to write, we are compelled to express our voice. For some reason, some other, we are compelled to speak our truth. Now, when I was a child, I was raised in a family where there's domestic violence and my father's mental illness. And when I was 6 years old, I witnessed my father threatening my mother with a knife. Now, at 6 years old, I had decided that in order to protect myself and stay out of harm's way, I had to hide my voice, not express myself, not speak my truth. And that's been my quest. My quest has been to find my voice. In many ways, it's a terrific blessing because if it wasn't for that gift, I wouldn't be here talking to you. I wouldn't be here writing because I feel compelled. I must write. And most writers have that compulsion. I must write. I must get my message across. If it's self-help, I've got to get that out there. If it's fiction, I've got to work through these issues with characters. I write fiction and nonfiction. And in fiction, it's how do I get characters? How do I work my inner world through the outer characters that I'm having in fiction? How can I write naked? So, how do we speak our truth? Well, we've got our thematic truth. You know, we all have our themes. Maybe the human spirit overcomes adversity or life sucks. You know, whatever is your truth, what is your theme? Because if you're in a fiction, if you're writing fiction, you've got a theme that you're trying to create. What is the theme of your book? What is the truth? Now, there may be a cultural or societal truth. And I like John Grisham. I'm a big John Grisham fan. And if you read John Grisham, he really makes fun of lawyers. Not only makes fun, but he really reveals truths about lawyers. That lawyers, some lawyers are not the greatest people in the world. And my truth is, in psychotherapy, when I started in psychotherapy, I realized there's a lot of strange therapists out there. You know that? And I said this in the other class, that those of us who become therapists do so because we need 40 hours of therapy a week. And I remember I was a director of a family therapy program in Sydney or in Australia, and I went to visit a psychiatrist because I was new in the area, and this psychiatrist, he didn't talk, he didn't look. He'd be talking, but he'd be looking down, and he wouldn't look at me. I said, this is pretty bizarre. Here's a guy, he was in charge of a psychiatric unit, and yet he's working with individuals who have some kind of mental problems. And could you imagine working with somebody who's supposed to be helping you, and he looks down and doesn't look at you? I mean, it's pretty bizarre. And so I realized that we, therapists, we call clients, we're working with clients to help us resolve our own issues. And so I thought, I'm going to write about this, because I was working in a child and adolescent psychiatry department, and I thought, wow, I'm going to write about what I see. We used one-way mirrors. And so in front of the one-way mirror, there's a family fighting. And in the back of the one-way mirror, with a therapist, we were fighting with ourselves about how to intervene. I thought, this is pretty bizarre. So I think it's a cultural, societal truth. We want to speak truth, whatever we're called to speak truth. Our body, sensory truth. If I was taught to shut down my body, in writing, I'm called to awaken my body. Good writing means we call in all the senses. And so if we want to really write a very passionate love scene, well, I've got to invoke all those senses, those body images. So speaking truth really is getting connected to our body and our senses. It's also getting connected with our emotions. So if I'm writing about my own life, I may be asked to really speak my truth, to really delve deep, drill deep, to really find out more about myself. When Frank McCourt was interviewed about Angel's Ashes, where he talked about the migration to New York, and as an Irish family dealing with all his father's alcoholism, was a pretty horrific story. And initially he started writing, and he just talked about his parents. But then as he started writing, he says, you know, I wonder what my first memories were. And that propelled him, like in a memoir, propelled him to start understanding more about his own life. And he started writing in the present tense. So as we begin to write, it's going to force us to speak more from our emotional truth. And then to find our heart in our vocal truth. That really, writing naked is removing the layers of our clothes, the layers of all the shoulds that we've been taught in life, the layers of all the expectations that somehow parents and cultures put upon us, so that we can let it rip. We can just reveal ourselves. And if I'm writing dialogue with a character, I can really imagine myself letting go. And the last thing is our spiritual truth. So what is our spiritual truth? Does the spiritual truth also come out in our writing? So, the key is, keep giving you until you is what the readers want. And the whole purpose of naked writing is to become intimate with yourself. Now, it's kind of easy to say, just be intimate with yourself, but we're going against some of the cultural indoctrinations. We've been downloaded viruses about, you know, don't speak, don't talk too much about, uncomfortable things. And my quest is to speak my truth. I was staying at the hotel, and they put me in a room that was near a freeway. And so I'm a very light sleeper. And so I woke up this morning and said, wow, I didn't sleep very well last night. And my quest, of course, is to speak my truth. So what am I going to do about it? So in the morning, I had breakfast, and I went to the manager and said, you know, I didn't sleep very well, and I'm kind of curious because I had called and asked for a really quiet room, and I don't know why you put me there, but it's a very noisy room. I couldn't sleep. He was very apologetic. He said, listen, we will get you. We don't have any rooms available, but let me check. He did find another room, and the other room was in a very quiet place. But again, I was compelled to speak my truth. And I think as writers, it's not just writing, but we're compelled to speak our truth in life. And although we're doing it on paper, we're also called to do it in our interactions with life, to speak our truth. That's what we're meant to do. And writing is such a beautiful, just a beautiful field, because it really helps us heal ourselves as we're writing. Now, I suggest let's dive deep. Because there are treasures in our psychic garbage can. So don't be frightened of our psychic garbage can. Let's just dive deep. And Freud once said that pleasure is the release of tension. There's tension in telling truth, becoming naked. Now I want you to imagine, let's say you're with a friend, and your friend did something that really disturbed you. Don't you feel tension about telling your friend, you know, I might offend my friend, they may not like me, but somehow I'm uncomfortable. There is tension about telling the truth. And if you're with a loved one, there is tension in telling the truth. Let's say you're married and you want to get a divorce. I mean, talk about tension and saying, I want to get a divorce. There's a lot of tension. And just like pleasure, there's this buildup of tension, but then once we tell the truth, I feel so much better. Isn't this like, give me a cigarette, you know. I just feel so much better when I speak my truth, when I write my truth. But there is tension in writing about truth. There's tension in really being naked. It's not just always comfortable. And I always believe that if I want my readers to cry, I better be crying when I'm typing on that keyboard. If I want them to get enraged, I better feel enraged when I'm on the keyboard. My feelings are getting conveyed to the people who are reading my manuscript. And so I want to release, and I want to go through those same emotional stories that I want my readers to go through. So, as Madonna says, express yourself, don't repress yourself. And that's really what we're all going to be talking about today. Expose yourself in your writing, be vulnerable, remove your masks, your inhibitions, find your voice and use it, connect with senses and feelings, express your range of emotions, welcome the light and dark sides, and reduce judgment and self-criticism. So how are we going to do that? Well, here's... First thing is we just want to welcome our shadow. I want to talk about the shadow a little bit, because if I'm writing memoir, I'm writing about shadow. I have to write about shadow. If I'm writing nonfiction, I'm also writing about shadow. You know, Debbie Ford wrote a number of very good books about our shadow, embracing our shadow. So writing about shadow, or, and of course in fiction we do write about shadow. I mean, it creates conflict. And so we want to discover, experience, and express parts of ourselves that have been suppressed. The Gospel of Thomas says, if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. So that's the key about our shadows. We were talking about villains in one of the panels, about villains. And a villain is really parts of ourselves. So when we're writing, if we're writing about a villain, that villain, we really are projecting our most horrible parts of ourselves onto this villain and then giving it to the villain. But the villain, these are all parts of our psyche. Psyche, the shadows, the unhealed psychic wounds show up in our characters. That's the beautiful thing about writing. If you're writing fiction, I get a chance to actually write how I would like to really speak, you know? And we project our negative parts of self onto others. We use characters to bring darkness into the light. And Rumi, the poet Rumi, said, the wound is the place where the light enters you. The wound is the place where the light enters you. And a villain, as I mentioned, represents an aspect of the writer that demands expression. So imagine, let's say, in the hotel room, and I was upset about having a sleepless night. Now, I could have played with that. I could have stormed over there and says, I can't believe this, that you gave me a horrible room. I demand my money back, and I demand you put me up in a penthouse. I don't know if that would have gotten me any far, but at least I'd express myself. But there are many different ways to express myself. I says, okay, I felt it was rather comical because I got up early in the morning and I said, well, let me just play around with this PowerPoint presentation and see what happens. And I'll talk to the gentleman. And I said, well, of course I got to talk to him because I'm talking about being naked and speaking truth. And so I got to mention to them. So we're here to, let me talk a little bit about this. I want to say a little bit more about the shadow. One of the shadow is that we have our inner saboteurs. In writing, we have a procrastinator, don't we? We all have some kind of procrastinator. I always know I'm procrastinating when I'm writing is when I think I got to do the laundry or some other household chore because I think, oh, wow, it's time to do the laundry. And it means that I'm trying to avoid really continuing with the writing. So if I can acknowledge that the saboteur, that there's a saboteur about me and I can write about the saboteur, I think of J.K. Rowling and some of her characters. I love J.K. Rowling, and she's a great storyteller. And I think of Dolores Umbridge, and I think of Voldemort. These are great characters. And I'm thinking, wow, she is really writing about parts of herself that she would like to express. We all are. I mean, I can pick up a novel, and I can pretty well tell you what the individual's, the writer's personal issues are just by reading their novel, the type of characters they choose, the dynamics that are going on, the themes, because we're all just writing about ourselves. It's just a projection. So if I'm writing a novel, it appears like I'm just making it all up. Well, I'm not really, yes, I'm making it all up, but I'm really talking about my inner psyche. I'm really talking about myself in a kind of a metaphorical way. And I'm working through all my own issues in writing. I'm putting it out there. So I have difficulties maybe not being powerful. Maybe I'm a victim. So I'm going to create characters that there's a victim. And how am I going to work this victim out? I'm actually working through and healing parts of myself while I'm working on this outside character. which makes it really rather beautiful. It's a very healing experience because we get to play with parts of our psyche to heal. Does that all make sense? Yeah. Okay. The other thing is, number one, two things about white and naked. We want to discover that which we suppress and bring it into the light. And the other thing is we want to discover that which really fills our heart and soul, that which we have a passion for. That's what we're really, you know, it's like I can't stand it. I just got to get it out there. So what's the burning message that you want to give to the world? Bless you.
It's a burning message?
There's a burning message, yes. Now, there is a conspiracy because the universe is going to force you to face the truth. And I want you to think of it this way. If you have a relationship issue, the universe is going to put you into other relationships so you can face your relationship issue until you continually work it. Let's say I'm continually attracted to unavailable individuals. So, okay, wow. There's another unavailable person that I'm attracted to. So it means I've got to start facing my issue with not being available. So I will be attracted on the outside world to help me face my inner truth. And so there's a conspiracy. The universe will force you to face your truth. And that means that when you're writing your book, there's going to be a step in time between what you're writing and what universe will show up. So, Cuckoo Forevermore, the novel. It always astounds me. When I'm speaking, writing the truth, I know something will happen. So in the sequel to the book, I wrote on a Sunday night that the main character, his car, his window was smashed. I go to work the next day. I saw clients, and then the last client of the day was late at night. And he comes in rather frantic. He says, "Leonard, someone just smashed my windows." I says, "Whoa. I mean, this is a very safe parking place. It's never happened before." But I had just written the scene the night before, and the very next day, here comes a guy saying, "It happened into my car." I says, "Wow, that's pretty interesting." You know? But I was rather blessed because the universe, because as I listened to this guy's story, I says, "Wow." And I realized he was really terrified. And wow, I got to bring this terror into my character. Thank you, universe, because my character wasn't as terrified. I says, "Well, thank you. Yes, it must have been very terrifying." And I took it in and I rewrote the scene because this guy was terrified. Now, I don't know if you experienced, but when I talk to other writers who are conscious of themselves, there is a synchronicity of events of, I'm writing this as if I'm writing this, and then it happens. I'm writing and it happens. This happened to me whenever I write novels. When I write the self-help book, I'd walk into the library and all these books would be tumbling down that I had to put into the self-help book. It's just, there's a conspiracy that Spirit wants you to speak the truth, and as you start writing the truth, you start revealing your emotions, it starts appearing in the outside. It's really rather, it's kind of astounding. It's almost mystical in the way it happens. But it's beautiful because I know I'm speaking my truth. I'm walking my truth. And you'll know when you're writing your truth, you'll see something, you'll see a sign in the outside world to give you validation. Validation. And the validation, the universe will reward you for expressing your truth. I believe we're all spiritual beings and we really are meant to speak truth. And it always astounds me. It said, most people really want to speak truth. Even sociopaths, everyone really wants to speak their truth. It's like there's this light that has to be coming out. And I'll slip up or whatever, but we're meant to speak our truth. And so you get rewarded. Now here, my novel, Cuckoo, was published in 1996. I never even thought, but look at the guy's naked. I mean, it's like, wow, isn't that interesting? It's like, wow, because the book is about the guy discovering himself. It's a search for manhood, a quest for manhood. A psychologist working in Sydney, Australia. My pitch is it's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest set in a children's psychiatric department. And in Sydney. But again, I didn't even realize that this whole naked theme. How can I be more naked in speaking my truth, writing my truth? And then the roadmap home, again, a gift from Spirit is when the cover came back and it was published and whatever, and I realized, hey, there's a number on the GPS, 1147. That's my birthday. I was born November 1947. I said, isn't that incredible?
But that was just a coincidence.
It was a coincidence. It was like, I didn't plan that. I didn't even know it was there until after it was published, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, wow, these are the gifts that the universe will give to you as you're writing, and you're on this conveyor belt of these magical, it's a magical mystery tour. And how do these things happen? I don't know, but I didn't plan that. I didn't even know what those numbers were until later on it just hit me in the head. You will realize more of these incredible truths as you're writing.
What's the number on the writing?
It's 500.
Well, now, the number 5 in numerology has changed.
And five, I'm a number 5, numerologically. So I again, numerologically, I'm a 5. And there's, wow. I'm a 5, and there's my birthday.
Wow.
Says, whoa.
Wow.
That was again. Yeah, and when you find yourself doing wow, you say a lot of wows as you start writing your truth.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do we magnify our truth? So how do you get your truth out on paper? Well, you want to connect with your body, your senses, and your feelings. You want to connect with your body. So when you're writing, no matter what, memoir, fiction, nonfiction, get in with your feelings. You want to feel your senses and your feelings. The other thing is you want to up-level emotions. So if you're angry, move into rage. Because as children, we're taught to really damp our emotions. And so play with magnifying it, sadness, to despair. So if you say, you know, I'm feeling sad. But imagine if you say, oh, I feel really, boy, I'm depressed. That's a little bit different than I'm sad. Sad is kind of like, well, I'm sad. I'm depressed. If you say, you know, I'm mad. You know, I'm enraged. Oh, doesn't that kind of crackle a bit, you know? Your writing will start to crackle. Yes?
Are you talking about on paper or in life?
On paper.
Okay.
This is on paper. But it also goes into life, too.
Also with the media. If you're more, I got to think yes. Of the times because I was like, I can't believe they did this. And then they call me for an article.
Absolutely. The media love more passion. This is make your stuff into more passion. So from love to passion, fear to terror, happiness to ecstasy. So you want to up-level your emotions. The other thing is use power verbs. We know, and this is all part of writing, you all know about writing, so, you know, I crashed into her, or, you know, I stormed out the room. So you're up-leveling, you're using more power verbs. Instead of I was going to the store, I flew to the store because I was running out of time. You know, so you're using more power verbs. We know about shifting from passive to active tense. It's a lot more powerful in our words so that we're not... you know, you always do a thing, how many times you use was or is, but using more active voice. Show versus tell. Now, we know about show versus tell, but imagine if a woman says, you know, I felt really unhappy going to the divorce. That's kind of telling. I felt really unhappy versus the asshole. I never should have married the bastard. I mean, isn't that, that's showing. Wow, she's really enraged. So to get your writing is you're showing more about what is going on, rather than telling. And the other one is eliminate quantifiers. Now, this is I'm in Toastmasters. I'm a president of Toastmasters in Dana Point, and it really bugs me when we use quantifiers. So, how are you feeling? I'm feeling a bit down. Why don't you say, I feel down? I mean, we do this in our language, don't we? Oh, I'm feeling a little unhappy, or I'm feeling a little... Well, why do we use quantifiers? Get rid of those quantifiers. Because it makes it more crackly. Even in our speech, where really it helps us speak our truth more, and people will pay greater attention to us. So yeah, I'm feeling, what's another quantifier? I'm somewhat tired. I'm going to say, I'm exhausted. Does that kind of come out? Oh, really? And if you're speaking to somebody, won't they say, I'm exhausted. Oh, really? Yeah, what's going on? If you say, well, I'm somewhat tired. I mean, it's hardly even worth responding, isn't it? So you really want to get your language. It helps really getting it more crackly and really more distinct. It's like you're starting to peel off your clothes and say, here I am, you know? okay. Now, the key here, we know that conflict is what drives our writing. Conflict is so important. Now, externalize parts of yourself to highlight we're doing that in our writing. When I used to work with kids who had soiling problems. So these are kids who would shit in their pants, basically. And we did an externalization problem and says that they had, and this guy even made a book, Beating Sneaky Poo. So to externalize the problem, it says, let's say it was Johnny. Johnny versus Sneaky Poo. And then we would say, you know, Sneaky Poo is a very sneaky character. He's a dastardly character. The Sneaky Poo wants to get you into trouble with your parents. It's coming out of all the wrong places. The Sneaky Poo, we've got to defeat him. And of course, little Johnny says, yeah, we've got to defeat Sneaky Poo, you know. So we externalize it. So there's a contest. So when we externalize it, it's really within Johnny, but we're making it outside. And we do that with our characters. So by externalizing the conflict, I can see my conflict. We do this in relationships all the time. You know, we talk about, oh, she or he, you know, oh, he never listens to me. You know, we externalize our problem and project it onto our partner and say, well, they have the problem, and if only they would change themselves, my life would be much better. You know, if only they would just, oh, do all the things that I would like them to do, then I would feel really good about myself. I may not grow very much, but I might feel really good about myself. Again, create dialogue between different parts of yourself. And so you're creating dialogue so that you're able to bring these other parts to the forefront. Establish alter egos to say what you might be reluctant to say. I'm thinking in fiction. We create alter egos all the time. And if there's a part of me that hasn't allowed myself to get angry, I'm going to create an alter ego who gets enraged, maybe a villain. So I get to play out that part of myself through rage. Oh, yes, he's a horrible, and I want to kill. I want to kill. But it's really a part of myself that I'm able to explore in a very creative way, a safe creative way, which helps us, again, learn more about ourselves. And I have stacked the conflict in and out of. Again, we always have lots of conflict. Like, it's hot in here. Am I the only one that's warm? Are you guys feeling comfortable?
Yeah.
You're comfortable. Okay, why don't
you... You're working it, brother.
What's that?
You're working it.
Okay, great. Well, I'm feeling a bit warm, so...
You need to get naked.
I know. You said, no, I said, I feel a bit warm, and I'm hot, you know? Okay, so stacking the conflict. Let's imagine we're here. How could we stack conflict here? We've got conflict, maybe the temperature. Maybe I really don't want to be here because I really am giving up being outside on a nice day, and a friend of mine asked me to go to the swimming pool. You know, so I've got internal conflict, and I just had an argument with, let's say, my son. And the way here, we have big arguments, so I got this argument, and they overcharged me about this whole seminar, and I had to park way over there. It was 2 miles away. I had to park. And then you're writing about what happened. So you've got all these levels of conflict that you're writing about. So it's not just one conflict. There are levels and levels of conflict. And that really makes it more alive, too, so that... you know, we like to just, oh, yes, yes.
You're saying to have dialogue between parts. This sounds kind of schizo, like Three Faces of Eve or something. I mean, are you saying you put this in your story, or do you have to be crazy to write a good story?
No, we do this all the time. If I'm writing a fiction, I've got dialogue between different parts of myself. So if you look at the dialogue between, let's take Harry Potter. So if Harry's talking to Hermione or Ron, they're all having a dialogue. And if they're having a fight, they're having a dialogue in their fight. And so part of it is really creating a dialogue amongst your characters. So that's one thing of doing it. The other thing is, in Gestalt therapy, we would use empty chairs. So there'd be a part of myself that I would want to, let's say there's a part of me that wants to be nice, another part of me that gets tired of being nice. And so I'll do an empty chair while I'm dialoguing with myself. So, Leonard, you know, you're always trying to be nice. Well, that's, you know, I don't want to be nice. I just don't want to be. So I'm having a dialogue with myself. And what it does, it brings it into the open, what's really going on inside of me. So, and it's not schizo. It's like, and really, all of us are talking to ourselves in our mind anyway. The difficulty is if I'm having an argument in my mind and I'm losing the argument, then there's a problem, you know. So, okay, reduce judgment. So, again, to get naked, I believe these are some of the things that are very helpful. Make a commitment to write for a certain time each day. Practice self-acceptance where there's no right or wrong, no criticism. You know, the morning pages, Julia Cameron, in The Artist's Way, she talks about writing pages. You write for 3 pages every morning. Really great. I've been writing my dreams for 35 years. The very first year that I wrote dreams, I said to myself, I'm not going to analyze my dreams because it stopped me from writing my dreams. So the first year, I just wrote my dreams. And I've been writing my dreams for 35 years. Writing dreams, boy, those we all dream, but you start writing your dreams, you're going to see some scary parts of yourself in your dreams. But I wrote it because I wanted to give freedom to my creative self to come out. I wanted the freedom of that part of myself just to see. And then I learned, wow, the dreams are phenomenal. They give me phenomenal gifts. So no right or wrong, write in free flow. So when we're writing, I teach a Writing Naked class, and we do a lot of prompts where people just write in free flow with no criticism. I'll show you an example at the very end. Lose control, don't get logical, capture the energy, and write with other supportive writers. I think one of the worst things to do is to share your writing to your partner, unless even if the partner's a writer, because that can really be rather daunting. My sister was writing. She showed it to her husband, and he's a very good editor. I love Bob because he does editing, helps me with my editing. We spent 20 minutes talking about whether to place a comma or not have a comma, but we enjoy the conversation. But again, if you're really wanting to write naked and really be creative, be in it with a supportive group of people. And here's the writing exercise. So here's a writing exercise that I have in one of my classes. Choose one of the prompts. So the first time I experience pleasure, I'm ready to face my internal saboteur. When I write naked, my heart opens and closes when. And then we do I use this for number of purposes, kind of a cluster. And so let's say if I wanted to write about my internal saboteur, so I put my internal saboteur, and then I would look at the positive characteristics and the negative characters of the saboteur, how I'm feeling, my senses, so I'm fleshing out in this mind map, and then I give myself 6 minutes just to write. And so here's what I wrote in one of the last classes. So I call this is the one, I'm ready to face my internal saboteur. The choker. Quit harassing me, I scream. I hate being judged. I'm here to control you, cackles the Joker, reaching for my throat. I'm better off on my own. You need me, snicker the Choker. If you don't listen to me, I'll squeeze the life out of you. I struggle to remove his bony hand from my larynx. You only exist in my mind. You're not real. Ha! Laughs the Choker. His strong grip paralyzes my neck. Let go, I gag. Don't kill my voice. The skeleton squeezes harder. You're mine! My voice is barely a whisper. Then I realize my struggle keeps me locked in his grasp. I surrender to the moment and breathe. Pure light, I breathe into my throat. I relax. I breathe in patience and self-acceptance. I tell the Joker, I see you. At one time, you protected me from getting into trouble. Now I release you and forgive you. My words act like hot flames licking the bones on his hand. The skeleton turns into ash. I am free. So again, that's kind of writing naked, but it is a process of slowly moving away from let's go back to the beginning about making love. It's about getting in the energy, creating the ambiance. And sometimes it's very hard to write truth. We've got to move in. We've got to create the setting. We've got to be in the right atmosphere. We've got to feel ready to remove our clothes. We just don't say, hi, how are you? And taking our clothes off. Well, some people do, but, you know, it's something we have to move into readiness. And that's what Writing Naked is about. So, establish a 30-day conditioning program to write naked. A daily routine establishes a habit that then becomes part of your life. Focus on the daily practice. Again, The Stream of Consciousness by Julia Cameron. Get comfortable with discomfort. It is uncomfortable to write naked. It's uncomfortable to reveal your truth. When I grew up, I was taught not to speak my truth. And so I'm a continual work in progress to continue to practice speaking truth, to find my voice, share my voice with other people. It's a continual practice. And choose an emotion and write about it. Stretch yourself, dive deep, and definitely establish accountability partners that will help you. Now, I'm going to just finish on Natalie Goldberg, writing down the bones. Take out another notebook, pick up another pen, and just write, just write, just write. In the middle of the world, make one positive step. In the center of chaos, make one definitive act. Just write. Say yes. Stay alive. Be awake. Just write. Just write. Just write. And as you write and you write, you're going to be feeling more free to take away those constricting clothes of perfectionism and judgment and allow yourself to shine forward and show the world who you really are. So I'm going to just open up a question. Yes?
Oh, no, I was just...
Bravo.
I just wanted to make a comment about the alter ego thing, which is, I think, very important when you're writing a novel or a story with a political element to it, to really kind of put that alter ego out there so that you have a real dialogue with yourself about those issues that you may feel strongly about, but you also have to capture the opposite point of view.
And it's rather scary, because if I'm writing about a villain or someone that I hate, it's scary to put myself into their shoes, to say, do I really want to be in their shoes? Because it can be scary. You know, Heath Ledger, who played the Joker, and that was a very dark character that he played. And I don't know Heath, but what I've heard is that, you know, you're in a dark character. Jack Nicholson, I believe, had asked him, said, I'll mentor you, it's a very dark character, to help you get out of that character. And sometimes we do go into some of these really dark places of ourselves, and it's really helpful to have mentors and people who can help us too. Good point. Yes, did you?
You know, we have our day jobs, and I would love, they talk a lot about creating a place to write.
Yes.
You know, how do you switch gears from the day's events swimming around in your head to getting into the zone of writing?
Great question. Here's a couple of things. When I was writing Cuckoo Forevermore, I was working at a psychiatric hospital. And, you know, we've got different things. And I began to use whatever is there as part of my writing. And so, and it was really kind of miraculous. I get off the train, and then there'd be a picture turned over on the sidewalk. Jeez, that's interesting. I picked up, there's Dr. Gerard Smelder. It's just how I visualized him. And as you open yourself up, whatever is out there gives you information to write about. If you're standing at the checkout and you see this strange, funky-looking guy, you know, that'd be interesting to write about this character. I wonder how I could write. Life gives you plenty of material. So if I'm feeling distracted, it says, you know, I'm feeling really distracted today. I've got all these things on my mind. You start writing about that. I'm distracted and whatever. And you're going to find, you're going to start leading to another place that will open up something new. I've gotten so much from just ordinary life teaches me. There was a guy, I had neighbors who, horrible neighbors, like neighbors from hell. But I ended up using them in a book because the main character had to have neighbors from hell. I got to play out what I really would have liked to have done to the neighbors from hell in my book. So what a great gift. The universe is giving us all kinds of gifts to take in, to write about, to share. So, and then the other thing is, when I write, I start in the morning, so I do an early morning, I do a meditation, I light a candle, say my little centering prayer, and give myself pause to write. So part of it is a ritual of creating space to say, now is my writing time. And I'm not going to... And here, if I want to leave you with one piece of advice, don't let anybody steal your time from writing. Don't let anyone steal your time. Your time is sacred. And this is a spiritual practice. Your writing is showing to the world parts of yourself. You're revealing to yourself. You're healing yourself. Don't let the world steal that time. When you commit even for 15 minutes, half an hour, make that time. That is your sacred time. You deserve it. Thank you all. Yeah. Oh.